The smaller altar, the altar of incense, whose cloud is a very symbol of our soul, reminds us that while we live material existences and while our physicality is an essential aspect of our identity, we are also spiritual beings. Welcome to 10 Minute Mitzvah episode 140, John Quincy Adams and the Ketoret. I'm Meir Soloveitchik.
Rabbi Soloveitchik's year-long 10 Minute Mitzvah podcast is generously sponsored by Ivan and Susanna Kaufman.
It is one of the many striking letters from one of my favorite people in American history, Abigail Adams. The wife of John Adams and the mother of John Quincy Adams was writing to the latter, her son, when this precocious boy was but 10 years old, having gone with his father to Paris. Abigail Adams knew that her very gifted child could well excel in a land like France, filled with culture, literature, art. But she took pains in their correspondence to remind John Quincy about the virtues that mattered most. In her letter, she told her son that, quote-unquote, great learning and superior abilities would be, as she put it, quote, of little value and small estimation unless virtue, honor, truth, and integrity are added to them. And then she added a bit of parental, pedagogical instruction. Adhere to those religious sentiments and principles which were early instilled into your mind, and remember that you are accountable to your Creator for all your words and actions. End quote. Thus did Abigail Adams, writing to her son across the sea, remind him that he was not only a brilliant boy, but he was also, indeed first and foremost, a spiritual being blessed with a soul, that there was a God that had gifted him this soul, and that he would one day stand in judgment before God. Remember, she says, you are accountable to your Creator for all your words and actions. Remember, she is saying, your faith. Remember the belief bestowed upon you by your parents. And remember that this ultimately is more important than intellectual achievement, and indeed it must be the foundation of intellectual achievement if those attainments are to be truly a source of pride to his parents. The importance of faith, the reminder that we are spiritual beings, keeping this in mind and joining it to the achievements of the intellect. This surely is at least part of the symbolism of two vessels that stood near each other in the Heichal, in the sanctum, in the second holiest room in the temple. These vessels are the menorah, the candelabra, and the Mizbeach HaKetoret, the altar of incense of Ketoret. The lamp and the incense involved rituals that were performed at the same time, which, as Rabbi Aaron Lichtenstein has pointed out, may seem aesthetically counterintuitive. For the candelabra illumines, whereas the incense, as he points out, creates a cloud of mysterious, mystical smoke that limits sight. But the point, as Rabbi Lichtenstein further explains, is that even as we kindle the candelabra, whose light embodies our intellect, the mysterium tremendum invoked by the incense limits light and thereby reminds us of the fallible extent of our own enlightenment. It reminds us that we must remain in awe of the Almighty and His omniscience. Or as Proverbs has it, Reshit Chochma Yirat Hashem, the beginning of wisdom is the fear or awe of God. Or to put it slightly differently, it is as Abigail Adams said it. The light of the menorah is a symbol of the light of knowledge. But the quote-unquote great learning that the menorah represents is joined by the mysterious spiritual nature of the Ketoret in order to remind us of what Abigail Adams called the quote-unquote religious sentiments and principles that lie at the heart of biblical faith. As the great Spanish exegete Don Isaac Abravanel noted, the incense rises directly toward the heavens once kindled on the altar. It is a symbol of our soul, its immortality, and its link to heaven. It is, therefore, one might say, also a reminder, in the words of Abigail Adams, that you are accountable to your Creator for all your words and actions. It is with this in mind that we may make mention of our mitzvah for the day, codified by the medieval work Sefer HaChinuch in his collection of the commandments, which is a specific prohibition of utilizing the altar of incense for anything other than incense. Or as he puts it in Hebrew, the prohibition is Shelo lahakriv b'mizbach hazahav shavayichal ki'im ketoret shebechol yom. Not to offer on the golden altar in the holy anything except the daily incense. In other words, aside from special applications of blood, as the work further notes, on Yom Kippur, the altar of incense is for incense alone. It is the outer altar, the much larger altar that is utilized for animal offerings. And we must not use the golden altar near the menorah for anything other than producing the mysterious cloud of sweet-smelling spices. Or, if you will permit the pun, when it comes to the altar of incense, we must be ever aware of its primary purpose. To use it for any other would be an act of incense-ativity. Here, too, the symbolism is apt. As I have mentioned in the past, citing the theologian Michael Wishegrad, the ritual of animal offerings on the larger outer altar is meant to be a reminder to us that we, like the animals, are physical beings, that we, like the animals, are mortal, and that we have our physical lives by God's grace. All this is true, and yet, the other altar, the smaller altar, the altar of incense, whose cloud is a very symbol of our soul, reminds us that while we live material existences and while our physicality is an essential aspect of our identity, we are also spiritual beings. That our soul, like the cloud of incense, will one day rise to God, and that, as Abigail Adams reminded her small son, we will be accountable to our Creator for all our words and actions. I like to think that the letter that John Quincy received from his mother stuck with him throughout his life. I like to think that perhaps it was her words that inspired him when, after being voted out of the White House, this once Secretary of State and President of the United States engaged in a career move that may have seemed surprising to many. He was elected to the House of Representatives and spent the rest of his days there. This may seem a step down, but not if you know that John Quincy devoted his time in the House to a great moral cause, opposing slavery. He thought not of his own stature, but of how he can utilize the rest of his political life wisely and well. And perhaps he was inspired by the words of his mother decades before, telling him, essentially, that when it comes to all the honors on earth and all of the achievements in existence, all those pale in comparison to the values that he had learned from her and his father, what she called virtue, honor, truth, and integrity. And that ultimately, because, as his mother put it, he would be accountable to his Creator for all his words and actions, it would be his moral achievements for himself and for his country that would matter most. This is Meir Soloveitchik, looking forward to learning together next week. Wishing you a Shabbat Shalom. Signing off.